Amen.
Aloha and welcome to Amen Podcast, where we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. I'm Lokelani, your host, and I'm joined by my husband, Alex, who's preaching about words. We're continuing our series in Matthew, looking at chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. I'll read the verses, Alex will preach, and then we will end with a question and answer time with yours truly. Let's read. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Amen. Words are very powerful. You are here because of words, here listening to this podcast because of words. Words that you've heard us share on the internet. Maybe it was a short, maybe it was a word that someone gave to you and said, hey, check out this podcast. Maybe you got suggested it somehow through the algorithm, but you're here because of words. Even the software developer or engineer put the right words into the algorithm so that it would know you would like this podcast. You're also on earth because of words. You know, your grandparents at some point exchanged words for the first time, fell in love, had your parents, and the same thing happened again with your parents. And so words are powerful. By words we can create, we can destroy. God created the universe with words. And so unless we learn how to get control of our words and use our words wisely, we're never going to really experience true life, true freedom. The right words in an interview can get you the job. The right words in a relationship can make you fall in love, or can make a relationship grow, or a relationship fall apart. So words are very powerful, and it's by our words, Jesus says, we're going to be justified or condemned. And so we got to get this right. And it's easier said than done. You know, being able to control the words is harder than it sounds. Verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Jesus is talking to a group of people, disciples, and also there is some Pharisees there, some religious people, some spiritual people, some churchy people, and they had just accused Jesus of being in cahoots with Satan. And so Jesus goes on from talking about thoughts in the last episode, the last paragraph, to now talking about words. Thoughts turn into words. And so what he says here is he gives an example of arboriculture. Arboriculture is the cultivating and the developing of trees. He says, make the tree good and its fruit will be good. Make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad. What he's saying here is when a farmer takes the time to cultivate a tree, he can make sure that the fruit comes out good. But after all the effort and the work that the farmer does to cultivate and develop a tree, if the fruit still comes out bad, nothing is wrong with the farmer. Something is wrong with the tree. Something's defective and faulty with the tree. And that is sin. And this happens still today. I have a friend of mine who took me out to his farm one day after school, and he showed me how they cultivate and develop a specific kind of fruit that they actually copyrighted because no one else was making it. And it was the mixture of grafting two trees together that made this delicious, one-of-a-kind fruit. And so this still happens today, and it happened back in Jesus' day. He saw it and he used it as an example, and he's using it as an example to point to these Pharisees, these religious people's hearts, in that for centuries, Jesus is the farmer that has been cultivating behind the scenes the hearts of the Jewish people, the chosen people, the Israelites, these Pharisees, these religious people, and it still hasn't worked. Not because Jesus is a bad farmer, he's a great farmer, but because these guys' hearts are faulty and defective, and it's because of sin. Now, it's not just these religious people. It's not just these churchy people. This is talking about you. This is talking about me. This is talking about our hearts. Our hearts are so sinful and defective. We can go to Sunday school after Sunday school, church after church, camp after camp. We can read verse after verse and still have bad fruit. What is the fruit that he's talking about? He's talking about the reaction that they have towards Jesus. Their reaction towards Jesus's miracles was that they were saying he worked with Satan. Now, you may not have ever said that, but if you've used the Lord's name in vain, if you have chosen to trust in money or drugs or sex or porn, if you've more than God, if you've done that, what you're saying is Jesus's power is not effective in my life. That's exactly what they were saying. Oh, his power comes from Satan. That's not real godliness. That's not real God power. I don't trust in that. Every time we choose to trust in someone else or trust in something else, that's exactly what we're saying. Don't you see how faulty and defective our tree is? Because we can have evidence. We can have all the time in the world. We can have great experiences with God, emotional experiences with God, and still not produce fruit. And still, the fruit that comes out is still these rotten words that were once thoughts that are now coming out of our mouth, whether gossip, slander, whatever it may be. And so we really need a miracle to happen in our hearts. Now, verse 34, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Jesus calls them brood of vipers. Brood of vipers is exactly what John called these religious people, these Pharisees. And what it means is, Lokelani was helping me understand this. She read in the commentary that it means like parent murderers, because vipers, when they're born, they gnaw their way out of their mother. And so what this just means is you're evil. Only someone very evil would murder their parents. And so to them back then, this is like the most evil thing a person can do. These people brought you life. They brought you into the world, and now you're taking them out. How evil can you be to do something like that? And he's making an equivalent between their reaction, their fruit of calling Jesus satanic, to being a parent murderer. It's just as evil, because Jesus is their actual true parent. He brought them into the world. He created everything. And now they're essentially trying to take him out. First by saying that he's working with Satan. Later, we know, by trying to take his life. And so they are evil. They are just as evil as parent murderers. To use your words to hurt and instead of heal is just as evil as being a parent murderer. It's evil. Because words are used to bring life, and yet you're using them to bring death. Just like parents are used to bring life, these guys are trying to bring death. So he calls them brood of vipers. It's very evil. And then he goes on to say, guys, he's not just talking about these enemies of his, he's talking about us. Mm. We are the ones. How can you speak good when you're evil? You can't. When a person is evil, you can't speak good. Every villain, take Scar, take Cruella de Vil, take whoever it is you may be. Every time they even say something remotely sounding good, they're doing it for an evil purpose. All the time Scar is nice to Simba, he's doing it with an evil intent behind it. Don't you see? You can't speak good when you're evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then he explains that. What does he mean by the abundance of the heart? When there's abundance, there's extra in the heart. Mm. When you have extra stuff in your heart, you're able to share it through your mouth. You're able to give it up and share it. When the heart is empty, there's nothing in there to give. So an evil person can't give anything out of an empty heart. You've heard it before. You can't pour out from an empty cup. When your soul is empty and vacant, when your heart is empty and vacant and cave-like and just dark and dreary, what good is going to come out of that? Nothing. But when you get saved, what happens is your heart flows living water out of it. There's excess. There's extra, because you're flowing from a good heart because your heart's been changed. Now you can speak life. Now you can say things that you never had the courage to say before, or maybe you didn't have the wisdom to say before. That's coming out of a good heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so he explains that by saying this, another parable. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. So this word treasure, it means what you're going to be buried with. It means casket. So back then what they would do is they would have a person buried with some of their belongings. And they did this way back as far as like Egypt. Even like Jacob was he wanted to be buried with Rachel, you know? And so people wanted to be buried amongst their families, amongst their people that they love. And so if you were to look at Jacob's grave site, his casket, you would look at that and you would say, this was a good man. This was a man who lived a good life. Because look at who he's buried with. Look at this beautiful cave he's buried in. And so the opposite would happen when you see someone just buried with their money. When you see someone buried with their money, you don't think, what a good man. Pirates are buried with their money. You know, their jewels, their gold doubloons, because that's what they loved and that's what they treasured. And he's saying a good person has good treasure. And from that good treasure comes forth good, a good life. But an evil person has evil treasure and from it comes evil. When you look into a grave of an evil person, and you see all their money and their successes and their accolades and their all these great stuff, and they're there alone. They don't have a Bible laying on their chest. They're there alone. Just their face looks sunken and lifeless. And you think nothing good came out of this person's life. Evil came out of this person's life because they weren't a good person. So how could they have good treasure? That's what he's asking. He's asking, what are you going to be buried with? Mm-hmm. Are you a good person? Absolutely not. James tells us that a perfect good person is someone that can control their tongue. James chapter 3. He is talking about Jesus when he said that. Jesus was his half brother, and he's known him since diaper days. He's watched Jesus from diaper days, and he knew not one time did Jesus misspeak. Did Jesus say anything with the intention to harm and heal or to use his words to gain power over someone else? He didn't do it one time. This is, if anyone knows Jesus, it's his half brother who has seen more of his life than you and I have seen. We've only seen him, you know, up till age 12, bits and parts up to age 12. And then we don't get 12 to 30. And then after 33, he, you know, rises from the dead and he ascends into heaven. James saw way more. And he said, Jesus is perfect in everything he does. He's able to control his whole body. He's able to control everything because he can control his tongue. Because the tongue is like what? It's the rudder of a ship. It's the bit in the horse of a mouth. It's small, but it controls everything. We've been watching these, sometimes we try to watch like these videos of people, what happens when they get arrested and what happens when they fight back towards the cops. And it's just interesting to see, like, how do these people get here? It's like a cool, like, psychological analysis on, like, you just got pulled over and now you're in the back of a cop car. Like, your taillight was out and now you have, like, facing 5 years in prison. What happened? And every single one of these little cops episodes on YouTube, the thing that everyone has in common, whether they're white, black, yellow, orange, red, whether they're from New Hampshire, whether they're from Kentucky or Turkey, what they all have in common is they can't control their tongue. They just can't stop talking. Even when they know they're making it worse, they just keep going. Why? If you can control your tongue, you can control your whole life. Everyone that's in prison, everyone that is dead in the grave, they got there because they couldn't control their tongue. They said something, got themselves into a situation because of their tongue that led to death. Don't you see? It's very important. We are all not good people. Romans tells us there's no such thing as a good person. We're all so dark and evil. And because of that, our treasure is evil and nothing good is going to come out of it. So here is the hope, because I know you've been waiting for it. Verse 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. You might be thinking, where's the hope in that? For by your words, you'll be justified and by your words, you'll be condemned. This word judgment, it means separating. Jesus is saying there's going to be a day of separation. The great day of judgment, the white throne judgment, is the white throne day of separation. Wherein, when Jesus sits on his throne, he separates everyone into two groups. Those who were careless with their words and those who were not. Those who were justified and those who are condemned. That's the two groups, the great day of separation. Your words are going to separate you into one of those two groups. Don't you see? That's why they're not just words. That's why they're not just, you know, oh, they're just words. We give them that power. That's not true. Words are going to separate you into the two groups of the universe, the two groups of eternity, condemned for eternity or justified. Justified means made right with God for all eternity. Your words will do that. Words are very powerful. So where's the hope? The hope is Jesus was condemned so you could be justified. Jesus is the word of God. He's God's own very words made flesh. He is God. And yet he was condemned so you, even with your evil words, could be made right with God. What that means is God treats you as he treats his very own words. Even though your very own words don't deserve to be treated that way. That's the gospel. And because Jesus spoke his words perfectly and had complete control over his tongue and spoke beautifully, spoke life, God rose him from the dead. And after God rose him from the dead, I love that Mary thinks that Jesus is the gardener. And when he says Mary, when she hears her name in his mouth, she realizes it's Jesus. It's not a gardener. But it's so crazy that even in his presence, even without speaking, she confused him to be a gardener, because Jesus still is the great arboricultural gardener, cultivating and developing the trees of our hearts. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he's also the tree of life. He is cultivating you and developing you through what? His love and his grace of the cross. Him being condemned so you can be justified. The more you allow him to cultivate you and develop you, the more you'll see good fruit from your life. You'll see the self-control to control your words. And it happens just from looking at the cross, mm-hmm. just from saying, okay, the word of God was treated with condemnation so I could be treated with justification. That will melt something in you. The next time you want to blow up, the next time you don't feel like you have the strength to have a little family devotional before bed, when you know you should, when you want to, you know, say some choice words to someone in traffic, the next time you're in that situation, if you think about how the word of God was treated so you can be justified, it'll give you the power to hold your tongue. What is it that you need to say so bad that God has never said to you? Mm-hmm. What is it that you want to say so bad to get off your chest that you realize, wait, God has never said that to me? If God has only spoken kindly to you, if God has only spoken life into you, how dare you speak death? Or how dare you refuse to speak life when you can? Don't you see? We have an obligation and an opportunity and a privilege to use our words to create life, because he spoke life into us when we deserved to hear death. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your grace, your mercy. It is so heavy once we look in the mirror at who we really are, and help us not to point the fingers at others and say, well, it's them, and they do this, and they do that, and they say these things. It first starts with us, and the reason why they bug us so much is because they remind us of us. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we ask that we would see your grace, experience your grace by taking the time just to think about these things and experience the freedom that comes when we do. In your name we pray, amen.
This is a part of the episode called After the Amen, where we ask you a question to help you apply this message. Our question today is, what are your words like? What are your words like? And as always, I'll go first. I think, you know, on a good day, my words are seasoned with salt. They are, like Proverbs says, kind words are like honey. They're like sweet for the soul and healing to the body. On good days, you know, my words are full of life and kindness and goodness from above. But on a bad day, you know, they may be like what James says, full of deadly poison. And it's all dependent on what I'm consuming, because the only way I can have power to have words full of life, words that are sweet like honey, like, is if I'm getting these words from the Lord, because he is the only one who is good. And so when I am consuming the word, then my words are life-giving. And I think about just like early, you know, in my walk with the Lord, and it was before I was a mom, before we were married, and I had so much time to just devote to reading the word, chapter after chapter, day and night. And I would surprise myself, like when I would encounter friends that were either believers or non-believers, like by the things that I would say about the Lord, because I had been consuming so much of the word. But I had spent years not really talking about him in that way, because I didn't know the word like I did as a believer. And that's just like a great reminder to think back on. Like, I remember being surprising myself, because it was his words that were coming out, not like, oh, how can I think of like how to say the right thing in this moment to make this person happy, or what I think is best, you know? But the closer we are to Christ, the sweeter our words will be. And the further we get away from him, the harsher our words will be. And that's why I think, yeah, like what Alex is saying, words are so powerful. We have to take them seriously. And so whether that's taking seriously the hurtful words that have been said to us, how, like, hearing them, not like letting them control our lives, but like, okay, how can I deal with these hurtful words that have been said, or the hurtful words we have said? Not just abusing his grace, like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I just said this, but I didn't really mean it. Or they probably forgot about it. Cause, like, I don't know, for myself, some words that have been said years ago, they're still so loud in my mind at times. And so I don't want to have that type of effect on someone else. And so it's so important for us to mourn over the hurtful words we've spoken to others, spoken about the Lord. Hopefully not as believers, we're not doing that. But like the hurtful words we've spoken to others, you know, those are his children as well. And, you know, sit with it, talk to the Lord, confess to the person you may have hurt. That will bring true healing. And that will allow you also to speak words of life in the future. When you deal with like the hurtful words or the things you shouldn't have said, I think it makes it so much easier to say the right thing in the future. And this also just makes me think of like how it's not just about saying the right thing. It's about meaning the right thing. And it has to come from the heart. It starts in our thoughts. It starts in our heart. And what comes out is eventually the truth will come out, but we can't just say the right thing if we don't mean it. Like that is just as harmful too. And so, because our actions won't follow, you know, if we're just saying something to say it, but we don't mean it, our actions will prove otherwise eventually. And so, because words turn into action. And so just really like just checking our hearts, really like, allowing the Lord to heal the hurtful words that have been spoken over us by looking to him and what he says about us. And then also confessing and repenting of the hurtful words we've said about others, and knowing we're not any better. Like, you know, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we all need his grace. And so how dare we say and speak ill of others when we would not want that. We know what it feels like when someone's done that to us, you know.
Yeah, words are powerful. As you were talking, I was thinking about that scene from Lord of the Rings. I think it's Return of the King, or it might be Two Towers, when Merry and Peregrine are in the woods with the giant tree guys, the Entish trees, and they finally realize, like, okay, you guys can fight. You know, Merry and Peregrine, these little short, tiny hobbits, are like, you giant trees need to fight. And the trees are so wise and hundreds of years old. They're like, this is not our war. We don't need to fight in this war. And then they realize some of the enemy, Saruman, had ripped down some trees, and they were friends of these tree giants. And so they've had a little meeting, and Merry and Peregrine were like, you guys need to fight. And he's like, you don't understand. What you have to understand is we are speaking in old Entish, and when we're meeting and talking in old Entish, it takes a very long time to talk in this language. And we don't say anything unless it takes a long time to talk about. And Merry and Peregrine, they just closed their mouth, and they just looked at him with eyes wide open. Because what he was saying is real true wisdom. People who are careful with their words, they don't rush through saying things that are important. And we are using something that is ancient. Words are ancient. You know, before everything that you can see and hear, there was the Word. The Word was in the beginning with God. And before everything, the Word was there. And so words are ancient, 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 ancient. And just like Entish in Lord of the Rings, we must be careful with it because of how ancient and delicate the practice of speaking is. Mm-hmm. And that's why the enemy wants us to be like LOL, BRB, whatever, you know, all the kinds of acronyms that we have. He's trying to get us to shorten language so we don't treat it seriously. And we have to do the opposite. We have to take our time. We have to get off shorts, get off reels. Take some time to really speak and think about what we're speaking, because words are precious. Yeah. So let us know, what are your words like? We love you so much, and we will see you in the next one. If you'd like to donate, amenpodcast.com. Like, subscribe, rate, and review. It means a lot.
Go out and be the church.
Amen.